Okay, so it's been a while since I've seen Red Heat, actually. So according to Jim, a Chicago cop never releases his gun.
The Belush, you mean?
You mean the Belush.
The Belush. That's what David Cross calls him with this name.
That's right. He really doesn't like him. He hates him. Okay, I can speak Russian, so I'm going to translate for you. No, Arnold's going to say... he hasn't said anything yet. It's a little tough. My Russian's a little rusty. Little rusky. Get
Did
it?
Did Lolly teach you?
No. God, she might listen. I better not pretend that I can speak Russian.
She'll be pissed.
She'll be so pissed. No, I think
we've mentioned this before. My favorite thing in movies is when people are speaking in their language, then all of a sudden they're suddenly like, hey, speak in English. We need to practice. And then the rest of the movie, they speak like that.
Yeah, I don't get that. They did, what was it, in Hunt for Red October, they just like zoomed in on the mouth, and then it was just like accepted that it was being translated, I guess. We got that sense of it, right?
So I was watching Kindergarten Cop last night.
Mr. Campbell.
You know, that really is a good movie.
No, it is.
Until he starts doing like, you know, helping all the kids out and teaching them how to, you know.
What, you don't like that part? It's because you don't have a soul.
I like
You can't appreciate when things are sweet.
Really difficult.
It's not that bad a movie. Even the parts are bad.
Where were you, dude?
Little phone call action.
Your mom's on silent. Hey, if you want to hurry up and get out here, we're about to do a Sweeney Todd podcast.
That'll give me something on the waveform I can look for, gotcha. And I can just... Okay, welcome to the Feudal Podcast. My name's Ian. Huh? I'm doing this by myself. I'm going to talk about Sweeney Todd. So basically,
Sweeney Todd.
Do you want to do... You can do Beagle.
I don't want to do Beagle.
I'll do Alan Rickman.
I'll be Alan Rickman.
Okay, you can be Alan Rickman.
You can't do... I'll be the little kid.
I'll do Beagle, you be the little kid.
Excuse me, sir. You mind if I bob your knob for a nickel?
A little gin, leave the bottle. Okay, so Sweeney Todd was directed by Tim Burton. The Tim Burton.
The director of Edward Scissorhands.
And this does sort of feel like Burton's back in his... I don't know what the word for it. He's back on his... Isn't it a base? What's the baseball term? His wheelhouse.
Well,
Burton's in
your wheelhouse when it's tossed to you and you're ready for it.
Yeah,
this wasn't tossed to him. He probably sought it out.
Okay,
so like, hey, I want to make an adaptation
of a play by Stephen Sondheim.
Sondheim. Don't screw that up.
Is there any? First of all, okay. Feudal podcast, feudal e, g,
if you
podcast
g, at
gmail.
gmail.com.
Shut up! We all had a lot of cough syrup before we did this recording. Yeah. So,
how's that mimosa?
feudalpodcast@gmail.com. Oh my god, we're going to sound like a chick show with just the sound of a champagne flute clanging on a table.
Wayne always asks for his drinks in all of his drinks in champagne flutes.
Did I tell you about the time my friend was at a wedding and he saw all the women jerking off the champagne flutes?
No.
What?
Tell the story.
Wait,
don't touch his champagne flute.
Show it,
he said
he's at this wedding for like with his girlfriend years ago.
Yeah.
About for some musical teacher that she had or something. And he's sitting there for a while, like, you know, at the reception, and a friend of theirs comes up and he's like, hey, check it out. Look around. And he sees like a lot of the women that are there are sitting there, and they're doing this with the champagne flutes. They're
like with this
they're
part.
They're sliding their fingers up and down on the I don't know was that the stem of the champagne.
The stem,
flute.
Yeah,
the stamen.
And it's like maybe it's something about a wedding. I don't know, but it was really a funny story, and that just made me think.
Well, you know, there's a little movie that I wrote called Wedding Crashers, where these two guys understand that women are ripe for the taking at weddings. They
Indeed.
See all this love happening. They say, you know, I'm gonna spread my legs and have some. Seed spilled inside my
crevasse.
My crevasse.
Crevice? Crevasse?
Crevasse is
English.
Is probably no.
That's how Bear Grylls says it.
Yeah, but a crevasse is like has something to do with ice, usually, doesn't it?
No, it's just a.
They're spelled differently.
Crevice and crevasse.
Oh, yeah. And the bus got that, hit against the car.
I think a crevasse is something that's covered by like something else, and then you
FUTILEPODCAST@gmail.com. There you go. Is that what you're waiting to do?
No one ever emails us, but they will eventually because they'll realize that this podcast is the business.
It is the business. It's giving you the business.
It's it's like a bee fluttering around in the air.
More.
A crevasse is a fissure or deep cleft in glacial ice, the Earth's surface, etc.
So if she was
it is not a crevice.
If she was a particularly frigid woman at a wedding that was ready to give it up, then crevasse would kind of really
kind of more. I'm going to get you more, yeah.
Yes.
More mimosa. He's pouring it from the mimosa. It's a combo. You buy him. It's pre-mixed.
The fountain of mimosa.
He's got a fountain of mimosa.
He's got an ice sculpture in the corner of his kitchen that pisses mimosa. Okay. So we're talking about Sweeney Todd, just to get back to it.
Sweeney Todd.
Is there any historical basis for this story?
Yes.
It's a myth, right?
There is a myth about
an urban legend
An urban legend, yeah, who was a barber.
Passing it along.
Sorry, I totally forgot. Who,
Puff Puff Pass.
Who was totally a killer. A barber who sliced the
throat. Did he have five blades?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. He might have. I think that was just for, you know.
Sheer awesomeness. Yeah. He didn't have any scissors, though. I always thought it was weird. It's like he's a barber, but
he's a barber. Have you ever seen barbers cut with razors? They do this thing. They hold the hair and they go.
With the razors?
Yeah, razors. It gives it like like when you see girls like the hair that's like kind of at the end, kind of like feathers out.
I actually got a razor cut before.
Yeah, they do it, huh?
You had your hair like a chick before?
No. But it's for laying.
You mean you have your hair like a chick right now?
Yep.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
Mimosa.
No, I should talk.
We're talking about Sweeney Todd. That was what you were about to say, right?
Sweeney Todd.
Anyway. So in the movie, Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Beetlegum comes around and...
Yeah, well, so
he had a cane. That was the best part of the movie.
And he kept doing the thing where
Benjamin Barker,
Benjamin Gates,
Benjamin Barker,
Benjamin Barker. What's his name? Johnny Depp.
J. Depp.
What's his name?
21 Jump Street. Plays a guy who
on a jump
years before had been walking down the street with his with his wife and a wee child,
and they were beautiful.
They were all beautiful.
Beautiful.
And
he was naive.
And this guy,
he almost
the judge, sees the beautiful woman and says, "Hey,
she's beautiful.
Let's wrongfully imprison that guy so I can get the chick." And so they run over and they bash him on the head really quickly.
They bop him, kind of.
They bop him on the head.
The bobbies come over and bop him.
They take him away to
the place where
Stir.
They take him to the same...
So they called jail back in the 1920s in England.
Same place where that one guy from
put him in stir!
From the French version of this is probably been stowed up, but then he doesn't get treasure.
Right. No treasure.
But he manages to escape. None of that's covered.
No.
He just ends up on a boat.
So anyway, a particularly gay-looking English lad finds him in the ocean, apparently. And they get back to England where the kid... By the way, this whole movie... For anyone who thought that maybe Sweeney Todd, this is an adaptation of Stephen Sondheim, you know, as we mentioned.
This is a musical.
There are such things as musicals where there's dialogue, and this is not one of them. There's
it has
probably,
a little
there's
bit
probably
of dialogue.
12 to 15 lines of dialogue that weren't saying in the film that I estimated.
It's heavily musical-fied.
Very, very, very musical.
It's not as bad as that, the Umbrellas of Cherbourg or whatever, where the whole thing is people singing the lines.
Pirates of Penzance?
No, it's a French movie with Catherine Deneuve.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know, maybe Lolly knows about it. Got me there. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
So,
anyway, kicking in.
He gets back to jolly old London. Which is a really disgusting-looking place by Tim Burton's.
Well, it's point the of view. Turn. It's the Oliver Twist Industrial Revolution London, where everybody's pale and everything's dirty and dingy and sooty and gothic.
And
it's
Benjamin,
perfect Tim Burton category.
Benjamin Barker decides he wants to kill some Judge Turpin because
which is Alan Rickman.
Mrs. Lovett, Helena Bonham Carter for Fight Club, says your wife took some arsenic.
She croaked herself.
And so
you guys discuss the Because he didn't watch it all. Right?
No, no, I've gotten most of the ending. He knows, I told him. Okay. But not one part that I'll, we'll get to when we get to the ending. Okay.
So he goes, Argh. Except he's still angry it.
After 15 yeah.
He sings that.
He's pretty pissed. Yeah. So then she brings it. Apparently, this is where he used to live, and he yes. kind of knew this woman. Her husband's dead. She it seems pretty clear that this is back in the day, and so it's kind of she feels like she needs a husband. Right. And
she makes it obvious from the beginning that she's looking for a mate
of some mm-hmm. sort. Yes, yeah. It could be the whole thing.
She wants a family, kind of.
Possibly.
And Sweeney Todd. Finds his. He now decides he's going to call himself Sweeney Todd with no
reason.
With no, yeah, for no reason.
No, no, he had decided that earlier in the.
Yeah,
in the
no, he just story. Said yeah, like, no don't call me that. Call me Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. So he'd already decided that before the play starts, though, because that one guy goes, "What's up, Todd?"
Yeah, but it doesn't that's give true. You a yeah. real reason.
The
yeah, but,
sailor.
Yeah,
does.
But I mean, like you know, so you, we imagine that 3 years before the sailor. So what's your name? He's like, I don't know, Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, we'll do it. He probably was looking in like. Oh, I figure he's in Oklahoma somewhere.
He was looking at a Sweeney and a Todd.
No, he's like, it had to be Australia.
Okay, he's in Australia somewhere, and he sees like a water tower that says Sweeney Todd on it. And someone's like, "What's your name?" And he's like, trying to. He just escaped, and they know
P-tier
that you Griffin. Know the guy. The guy's got the mirrored glasses, and he's like, "What's your name, boy?"
Right.
And he's trying to make sure that he. To let
and
him
he
on
says
the boat.
Heath Ledger.
And he looks up, and he says. Dead. Sweeney Todd, and he's like, okay, yeah, right. You're not the escaped convict Benjamin exactly. Baca that yeah. we're looking for.
Because so they didn't have identification back then. They just asked you your name.
Yeah, he hops on the boat, and as Quigley Down Under is walking down.
This is too much now.
And then,
how about the rescuers down under?
No. There's no animation in this. Anyway, so that's how Sweeney Todd
yes, there was about. In the opening credits. There was animation. What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was CG stuff. It was kind of different. But then it didn't end up doing what I was hoping it was going to do, is create some kind of like title sequence based on the animation. It just sort of all of a sudden like brings the title up. You know, like Batman kind of did the whole thing where like the caverns and stuff.
So here's the plot.
Yeah, let's get back to the plot.
So Sweeney Todd.
She takes him upstairs to his old stomping grounds.
And he decides, I'm going to kill everybody, mostly the judge.
Mostly
the judge.
Well, no, he hasn't decided to kill everybody. He hasn't gone completely batshit yet.
Yeah.
First, he decides that he wants really, really wants revenge, and he has a whole song where she's singing about how she wants him to calm down and like love her or something. Yeah. And he's looking at his razor blades, talking about how like they're the best thing in the world. And it basically makes the point that he's completely obsessed with the idea of revenge. Completely. It's consumed him. There's nothing else in the world that he's going to see. And so he starts setting things into motion, establishing his presence as being this new up-and-coming, like, spectacular, fastest shave. Yeah, yeah, with, what's his name?
Wasn't it, like,
Borat?
No, but Borat. The guy's name in
the great was like Puccinelli.
Panini or something.
Panini, yeah.
I don't know.
It's not Panini, that's a type of sandwich.
Bernie Dobbins? Somebody died in the making
of it. It was Puss-something.
That's Ralph.
Pacelli.
Pacelli.
Yeah.
Pacelli.
Which is another type of food, isn't it? Is it?
I don't know, dude.
You knew panini.
So he kills Mr. Pope.
You know everything.
I've eaten a panini.
He kills that guy. And then Beetle comes around. And then the judge shows up.
Beetle is like a sheriff, by the way.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, that's the term?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought that was just
I assumed it was his name.
Yeah. Well, you learn something every day.
Because he was Beetle-like.
He was definitely a creepy guy.
Yeah.
He looked like a cartoon character. He kind of did. He had kind of the ratty teeth and the weird hair and the tiny...
He played the rat in Harry Potter, didn't he?
I don't watch Harry Potter.
You didn't watch Harry Potter?
I haven't seen anything.
Okay, so him, he did play... Yeah, he played the rat guy. Okay, so here, I'm just going to read Wikipedia's plot thing.
Oh, well, come on, we can
why?
Talk about
we
it always.
Like we keep going on.
I just want to talk about all the things I didn't like.
Okay, well, we'll get to... Yeah, I'm like really quick. Okay, so... Boom, he almost gets a chance to kill the judge, but he's taking his sweet time, and then the kid shows up from later, and he says, "Oh, I fall in love with this girl." And
which is his daughter,
Joanna.
Who he doesn't give a shit about.
He doesn't care, because he's all about revenge. Yeah, he's all about revenge. Yeah, which is kind of awesome, because it's like...
It's not awesome.
It's awesome.
If he's not obsessed with his wife, he should be, obsessed with... He should be
he's not obsessed with his wife. He's obsessed with revenge.
Well, he's
it's different. He's obsessed with destroying somebody that did this to him. Okay, we'll get to it later.
It's like revenge for revenge.
Anyway, so the comely young lass, this is why, this is his daughter, is up singing her songs about birds, and the kid sees her, and blah, blah, blah. And so then they, you know, boom, they
hit
it off.
He's going to steal her.
He's going to steal her because she'll be his property. And I can just see that maybe in the sequel he's, like, beating her and he's like, I own you, bitch.
I found him to be really creepy.
Yeah, he was kind of a weirdo. But, you know, she
was really hit it off from the window.
Yeah, she was going to take what she could get, I think, you know. She probably killed him. And
she said, that guy looks like a girl. I think I want to sleep with him.
She probably crushed his head with a rock when they were both sleeping out in the plains, out in the Mojave Desert or something.
It didn't really finish their story off, did it?
Okay, we'll get to that at the end. Boom, so he gets super consumed with this idea, I'm just going to kill everybody now. Like, he goes totally batshit when he can't kill the judge.
Wasn't it kind of Helena Bonham Carter's idea, though?
No, because remember, he's off in his own world, and then he bamps.
He already wanted to, and then she said...
And then
she gives him the idea that, hey, you know what, we could use the bodies to make pies. Yeah. And he suddenly gets excited. That's the only time in the movie where he seems happy at all.
Yeah, that's
like,
weird.
Yeah, some pies, and they dance around.
And they kill people, and they create a lucrative business on him shaving
cover.
Them and killing
him.
Him
shaving them, by shaving, just slitting their throats.
And he did shave, you know, some people.
Yeah, he shaved.
It only
showed. They showed that because he brought the wife and the daughter.
Yeah, it only that was like the.
He wasn't going to break up a family when he saw them there, because that's what happened. To him.
Or witnesses.
Witnesses. That's true. He would have had to kill. I mean, it wouldn't have been hard for him to kill that woman and child.
No.
Yeah.
He might have gotten hard, but you know.
Oh.
Anyway, so. I had to go at a certain point because I had to go to work.
And, by the way, as we were driving home after the movie, we looked down at the clock and it was still 5:45. So you really jumped the gun.
Okay. I could have stayed here for 5 minutes.
About to come on.
Oh my God.
I got to change the channel.
Yeah, because we don't want to spoil it.
Because we're going to watch Commando after this.
Yes. Anyway, so I left. He finally gets to kill the judge because the judge comes back because he tells... He tells the judge that, hey, I know that this kid's going to try to steal your daughter who you want to marry now because it's creepy like that. So if you come by here, then I'll give you the old, hey, how you doing? So he kills the judge, and he's killed Beetle earlier because Beetle came by right then to check with the health inspecting stuff because there was quite a stench coming from the place due to the all the people being baked.
Yeah.
And then I had to go. And then, I guess what was left is that he killed his wife, too, who I knew was the wife. Did you know it was the wife early on?
No, I didn't.
I knew it was the wife as soon as they showed it. As soon as they showed this old hag,
really
this haggish creature, he's got a hat. And I'm like, oh, it's the wife. And Helena and Marla just lied to him like a bitch because she wants some new dude, you know?
Mrs. Lovett?
Yeah. If I had a tumor, I'd name it Marla.
Yeah, I get it. So, here's the thing that bothered me about the movie. Did we finish yet?
Did you want to finish the plot?
Go ahead.
What happens?
You got to do the part where Alan Rickman comes, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like,
he slits his
throat. Hey, you want to shave? I mean, I know you're here for something
else. Yeah, exactly.
But
and he's
shave?
Like, yeah, why the hell not?
And they both sing the song about a pretty
ass. He doesn't slit his throat, though. He stabs him a couple times in the throat.
Which is good stuff, yeah.
There's a lot of blood.
It had to make it different than the other throat slittings.
So here's what happens at the very end of the movie. So after he just killed Turpin, he's like, yeah.
The haggard lady comes in, right?
She comes in, and she's like, hey, I don't remember what she was upset about.
She wanted to see the judge.
Well, first of all, she didn't come in yet, because he went outside or something, and the daughter went up there because she had escaped. And the kid brings her up, and he says, hey, not the kid, but the boyfriend guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, you wait here, I'll be back in half an hour for some reason. She's like, why? He's like, just wait. And she's like, and he runs off. And then she hears someone squawking in the background, and it turns out it's the crazy lady, which is her mother. She doesn't even know that.
So it was the judge first. She was there before the judge.
The dreaded Candiru.
So he... she gets in the case, the hope chest. And then...
What's in the box?
And it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head was in there the whole time. And she comes in and she's squawking around. Sweeney Todd comes in and says, hey, what the hell? Get out of here.
He just kills her
right then. And then she says, hey, I know who you are. And he slips
her
throat.
Do
I know you? That's it.
And then he dumps her. And then Alan Rickman comes in. Because I know I left right after Alan Rickman comes in. And I saw the wife get killed.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
So anyway. No. Alan Rickman's killed first.
No.
The Beetle is killed first.
Beetle.
And then she lands on the Beetle's body.
Yeah. And then Alan Rickman's the last.
And when Beatles... so every time they kill
Alan
someone...
Rickman first, and then his wife, and then the girl comes out of the chest, I think, and then she leaves.
No, he kills the judge after the homeless lady.
It's last. I can guarantee that, because that's when I left. And I saw the wife get killed.
So anyway, every time they slit someone's throat and drop them on the floor, it was funny, because it would show their bodies... it wasn't just like, you show someone going through a hole, and you're like, oh, they fell through the hole. Instead, it shows the bottom of the hole, too, which goes down to the basement,
and the cobblestones.
Body's hitting it, and the body's just going, like, and, like cracking, like on the ground.
Yeah,
really disgusting. And when the beetle finally did, you don't see him actually kill him. You just see the body hit the floor, and his head explodes, kind of, and blood spews out everywhere.
It's gruesome.
It was gruesome. So at the very end, slits wife's throat, slits the judge's throat, the daughter, who he thinks is a boy because she's got her hair covered up, mm-hmm. just like the other kid, Toby, did. And did you guys talk about Toby at all? He becomes a vital part of this thing.
He becomes
a main character.
Let's do that at the end, though.
Okay, so anyway, he sees his daughter, and he says, hey, I'm going to kill you. And she's like, but then he hears...
Helena Bonham Carter's scream because the judge wasn't exactly dead yet.
And he takes off and goes downstairs.
Yeah, and he's like,
we assume that's the last we see of the daughter or the boyfriend. So we assume everything's just
fine. The boyfriend showed back up?
No. Last time we see either of them was then. So he runs downstairs. And she was freaking out because Judge Turpin's body was still shaken and stuff. And it grabbed her. And she kind of kicks him off of her. And he comes down there and... he's like, what's the problem? She's like, oh, it just freaked me out. But first she sees who the that he killed the crazy lady. And she's like, and he comes down there, and he sees in the light, her hair is unobscured.
Yellow.
He sees the yellow hair.
And beautiful.
And he says...
she wasn't beautiful anymore.
He says, I know who that was.
She actually looked less haggard when she was dead.
He sees his wife. And Helena Bonham Carter says, hey, you know, it was... I didn't tell you she was actually dead. You know, I just said she took some arsenic and it didn't really kill her. And he says, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah?
Let's do a happy
dance. And then they have another dance and sing thing.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, and the furnace door is open at this point. And he's dancing around with her, and they're talking about the part where they're alive and happy. And he starts getting crazier and crazier with the singing. And he just kicks her right into the furnace.
Nice.
And it's gruesome. It's pretty nasty.
Just like in Conan and the Barbarian when he rolls over and throws
it. It shows her burning in it. And she's screaming. You can tell it's her because of her huge eyes, and, like, popping out at him and screaming, and, like, her hair's gone. And, like, it kind of looks like Anakin Skywalker burning on that beach in the molten lava planet at the end of, the kids' movie. What is it called? Episode 3.
Return of the Sith.
Yeah. So.
Revenge of the Sith.
He then picks up his wife, his dead wife, and he says, too bad. And I think he maybe sings again. He sings them maybe a little more. At that point, Toby comes back up out of the sewer. And Toby's storyline was, they picked him up, he was following around...
Little urchin.
Yeah, he was following around Sacha Baron Cohen. Didn't know he was a charlatan, but he was just there. And he always said, you know, you guys took me in, and this has been way better than it was at the workhouse. And he starts to think of Helena Bonham Carter as really motherly, and he talks about protecting her all the time and stuff. And he becomes the one with like the real emotional attachment to these people, and he gets immediate revenge and knows when to do it. He ends up popping back up out of the sewer, and he knows that apparently Sweeney Todd just killed Mrs. Lovett. Mm-hmm. And as he's sitting there with his wife cradled in his arms, and she's dead, and he's saying to her, he kind of just sneaks up behind her and behind Johnny Depp. And then more blood than humanly possible comes out of Johnny Depp. And it was really cool looking because it just kind of pours down his neck and it pours down his clothes and it drips all over his wife's face and it's like covering every single like curve of her face.
Yeah.
And it spills out onto the floor and it's just this huge thing. And then the last shot of the movie is you looking from like the doorway into the basement area with the furnace in the background. And him kind of just bent over her, like holding her like a bass guitar, and then this perfectly shaped like pool of blood kind of going out in all directions, and it just kind of ends, and that's it. Which I don't think is where it ends in the play. In the play, it ends with like some more Joanna and boyfriend stuff.
That would make sense. They'd have to queer it up a little more for the thought.
I could be wrong. I don't want to. You know, if anyone listening is a Stephen Sondheim fan, then I might be
you wanted it to end like that.
Looks like a bucket full of payday bars.
So anyway, what pissed me off about it was that the Sweeney Todd character, being so bent on revenge, is completely flat.
Really?
He's completely 100%
flat. Well, it means, makes him difficult to be a protagonist.
Well, not just that. I mean, he's a villain. Like, he's in all the stories of, like, they make him supposed to be a sympathetic character by giving the revenge aspect. Yeah. But in all the old, you know, all the old myths about the guy, he was just a villain who slit people's throats for no reason. So there's already that to it. But at the same time, the thing that bothered me is never once do we see him even attempt to try to get anything that will get to happiness again. Like, the they make fun of it, and it's really funny in the scene where Helena Bonham Carter sings about her dream about the family.
It was weird that they tried to make it funny to me. I was, like, thinking...
Well, that was... I mean, there were really funny moments in that. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's referenced, like I said, my...
He just has this dour, scowling face all the time. He doesn't really listen to anything anyone says, and it becomes really robotic in one note, and I was just bothered by it.
I thought it was funny, though.
I didn't...
It was funny in that part, but scene, it was funny. Like,
the rest of the film, it just bothered me, and I didn't like it.
You wanted him to get over it.
It was like funny. It was like funny things were happening around him, you know.
And I wanted him to just show a wider range of emotion, even though he had already, you know, the fact that the daughter thing didn't even. Here's one thing they screwed up on. He actually sings about his daughter later in the film.
Yeah,
there's a song where he does. Until that point, he didn't even register that he cared at all about her. Somebody says something about it, it's like, yeah, your daughter sold her ward there, and he's like, cool. And then he sings a song about her later, like he still cares, but he doesn't care at all. He really doesn't. He's just so one-minded about the revenge thing that it's just completely
flat. Well, he's kind of got to cover his bases on making sure no one knows who he is at this point. So part of it makes sense on why he stays so, like, unconcerned. But, yeah, then you see that he sort of sells out his daughter, possibly. Though that's you know, circumspect, you know, whatever. That could happen, too. That he's not actually selling out the daughter, but he's selling out the kid, kind of. He's just trying to get the judge to come by.
Yeah.
It isn't necessarily true that he's also going to sell out the daughter and the kid.
The point is that it's completely flat. And even, you know, since he is by default the protagonist in the thing, you have to have him have some sort of character arc, and there is none.
That's
none
true.
Whatsoever. And it just bothered me. So,
yeah.
In terms of that...
But, I mean, it's a different kind of story.
The Mrs. Lovett character was way more full and round, had way more...
And even the little kid
literally
character
and figuratively.
Was even more...
The kid, know? Yeah, the Toby. Well, like, the Toby and Mrs. Lovett, all those side characters had, real motivation.
Yeah.
They had real motivations behind things, and they were all human motives. And Sweeney Todd's thing was just, like... Was like this cartoonish, flat character that I just didn't.
It was
like
the revenge picture, yeah. I mean, that's really what it was. It was a revenge.
Well, the revenge thing is fine in some movies, and it can be used in comedies, especially to really good effect.
Or like Kill Bill, like I don't think the Uma Thurman character changed that much.
Well, she had a love for her daughter and stuff.
That's she did, so. and that was the humanizing thing. Was like she was able to like throw that other stuff away, and she was able to talk to people, and she had humor and stuff like that. And the Sweeney Todd character has none of that. That's the point I'm trying to make here. It's not that the revenge aspect overrode everything. That's fine, because every character has to have some sort of goal towards something. Obsession is always a good thing for any sort of
character. I think part of that is that it all came in the form of song. Like, so he did show emotion when he was singing. Yeah.
But it was all just angry emotion.
Yeah.
It was just too flat for me.
Mm.
So I don't know. If I had a letter graded, I would give it like a B-, I think.
B-?
Probably the same with me, just because, I don't know, I'm not really used to watching
good craftsmanship, and I ended up liking it in terms of the musical thing, and I liked the, you know, I liked the set design, the acting was pretty good, you know, it was good
Tim Burton-ish
stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think I'd have to give it I kind of want to give it a higher, like a mid between B- and B, but I'd give it a low B, but not quite a B-, because of the craftsmanship, because of the just sheer bizarreness of the story. Like, I don't think I've seen very many like that. You know, like if you were going to go around a handful of crazy R-rated bloody musicals, no, that'd probably be about one. And it'd be all this right. one. Okay, so you guys didn't like it that much, but I thought it was all right, but I didn't.
Well, I thought it was all right.
I thought it was all right. That one aspect of it brought it down pretty far.
I kind
of
like that, though. Every now and again, I like it when it's just someone just so obsessed with
I like that too sometimes, but it's just like...
They're just like, they don't care. Like, when he's really looking at the blades and of the razors that he's just gotten back, and she's, like, trying to be tender with him and trying to, like, draw him away from that, and he just has none of it. He's just completely, like, blinders to that. I liked that. I thought that was cool. I didn't like that he just went so nuts and started killing everybody, because that made him unsympathetic.
Here's how it would have been better. if he had almost been drawn in to everything else everyone wanted to do, like she had her own designs on him and like to get him into this family life. If he almost got into that, like,
well, if there was a day where he's sitting there smoking a pipe with Toby,
not just that, but like something where you saw him actually show some sort of likelihood that he might be able to turn that.
You could entertain that
idea. And like look at her every once in a while, and she might look over to him, and he'd like look away, you know, stuff like that, where he was actually considering like giving up this thing, and then it ends up, you know, that's what happens in tragedies. Tragedies still have rounded characters because, you know, in all the Shakespearean stuff,
the
character usually like decides to make some sort of change, and then the thing that they set in motion happens anyway, and that's the tragedy of it.
Yeah.
That's how those Shakespearean tragedies work. That's how the Greek ones work as well. And this is just like, this guy wants revenge. He gets it. He dies.
Yeah,
that's it. Like, you know, it's just this flat thing.
It's like what I did. I just stood up and walked out.
Yeah, you did.
Once he killed the judge, I was good.
That's pretty telling, actually, because, like, you know, that's what the movie was really about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once he killed the judge, you're like, I'm done.
Can we watch Commando later?
I think we can watch Commando later.
All right. I have to ask you like you're my dad.
I know. I know. I felt like your dad there. I was like, it's okay, son.
It's okay. We can watch Commando.
We can watch Commando.